Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah.
Where's Ahmad Rashad?
Well, to the scores
of Matty Gukas.
To the scores of people watching on YouTube. Sorry. That's happening right now. No, but we got something for the YouTube audience. You can't hear the NBA on NBC theme.
No.
But those listening on 95.7 The Game can't see this. What I'm holding up right here is a special edition. Stephen Curry, The Town, limited edition bobblehead.
I think it's on town.
It's unopened. We will debut this to the world,
yep.
To the earth, planet Earth. We're going to debut this to you.
And Uranus, if you're watching out there. It's a planet, coach. God, I can't work in these conditions. All right,
John,
Jupiter.
Why don't you try Uranus?
Neptune.
I mean.
Mars.
We'll debut this.
What?
To all the planets.
All of them.
How about at 3:45?
Sounds good.
Nick Friedell's going to come on. We'll make him, deal with that. But I would suggest get over to YouTube if you want to be the first to see what the limited edition The Town, Steph Curry, limited edition bobblehead, looks like.
The best and bobblehead The Town.
Let me get all of our information set so you know when this is going to be available to you. November 24th, that is Monday, the Warriors will be hosting the Utah Jazz at Chase Center. Custom City Edition court is going to be revealed that night. And the first 10,000 fans in attendance will receive a Steph Curry, The Town bobblehead presented by Rakuten. And boy, them folks at the old, whoop, there goes that information.
Gone.
Good thing I read it before that blew away. Anyway, the folks at the old Warriors marketing department, they know what they're doing. I'll just leave it at this. There's a couple things going on that night. And so, but the Warriors have found a way to make that night a big night here at Chase Center. So we'll unveil that in a little bit.
And I'm not super uniform guy. I know that Joe, Butcher Boy Shasky, and Guru are very locked in on uniforms.
Absolutely.
But having seen these uniforms in their preview form, I am super excited about The Town with the new color scheme and all that.
So good.
And so, yeah. The Town limited edition bobblehead can be yours if you're one of the first 10,000.
If the price is right.
If and yes, you are in the
if
house.
You
yes.
get tickets to the November 24th game. Tickets for the game are available at warriors.com. All right, more information on that we will tell you about at 3:45 when we unveil the bobble. So get over to YouTube. You got yourself some time, about 40 minutes to do it. John Feliciano is going to join us for his weekly Tuesday visit, but this time at 3:15 because we're going to start moving more toward Warrior basketball as the afternoon goes with the big game in LA, the season opener coming up tonight. We'll check in with Nick Friedell, who's down with the team also at 3:45, and some surprises for you from LA as we get a little bit closer to the action. As we get ready for Feliciano, I hadn't said this yet, and I want to throw this out there. There is, to me, sort of a behind-the-scenes strategic thing that the 49ers really need to be thinking about right now, and I have no doubt that they are. They're a pretty smart group. I think they know what they're doing. But it's a good week for us to all point to the fact that, I don't know if you know this, but Robert Saleh is really good at his job.
Yeah, yeah.
He's very, very good at his job. And Robert Saleh was here, Super Bowl. Robert Saleh's disciple, DeMeco Ryans, is here, Super Bowl. Then, for whatever reason, when DeMeco gets the job at Houston, and we will see him this weekend, when he gets that gig, suddenly Kyle Shanahan decides, let's go kind of like a different direction at defensive coordinator. Let's bring in someone with a different style. And he goes with a very good coach, but a different style in Steve Wilks. That wasn't so great. It wasn't awful, but it wasn't so great. Then, when Wilks is let go...
They went to the Super Bowl that year, right?
They did go to the Super Bowl. Yes, they did go to the Super Bowl, but there was clearly a clash there. But Wilks is an excellent coach, and then at the end of the year, not often that you go to the Super Bowl and fire assistants, but that's what the Niners did because of those clashes. And then they do the Nick Sorensen thing, which was a complete disaster. And I don't think that was all on Nick, but Nick was in over his head is the way I would put it. Now you go back to Robert Saleh and look what you're getting. You lose your best two defensive players, and you're still functioning. You're still holding teams to 10 points on Sunday Night Football. Just an amazing job. Is it too good of a job? Is Robert going to get another look from the head coaching searches that undoubtedly will be happening at the end of the year, and if not this year, is it next year, whatever? I really hope that the 49ers don't ever leave this system and style ever again. So, A, do everything you can financially and beyond to make sure that Robert Saleh does not want to leave unless he gets a high-level head coaching job. But if and when inevitably that happens, I really hope the Niners are doing a lot right now behind the scenes to groom whoever Robert Saleh's replacement is so that you can sort of mimic DeMeco Ryans and mimic what was, like, whoever you give it to next, make sure he's been sitting there learning under Saleh for a few years is kind of my point.
Yeah, it's not as easy as that, but I do like that as the ideal. And I know that when they ended up hiring Nick Sorensen, he wasn't their first choice, and he might have been their fourth or fifth choice, and you went down the board and you realized, well, we're going to give this guy a shot because you liked him and what he had done. And yeah, it did not work, and a lot of things didn't work last year. I won't put the whole year on Nick Sorensen. I think that your special teams were bad. Your defense wasn't good. There were a lot of things last year, all the injuries and whatnot, that led the year to be unsatisfactory. And yeah, you had to make the move. You made the move and you brought back Robert Saleh. And I'm not sure if he's going to be ready to roll to get another one of these head coaching openings, because right now, if you look at the landscape, and unfortunately, the jobs that might be open are including a bunch of Shanahan disciples, because it looks like Miami eventually you would figure is going to be open, like Mike McDaniel's right, having a dreadful year. And honestly, Houston with DeMeco Ryans, that's a team that could be teetering on the brink. So as you look at what jobs are going to be open, I don't know if this is a year where you're going to have that many of them that are going to be open. You've got a lot of first-year guys. Other candidates who might have been whacked, quote-unquote, like the Giants suddenly have a renaissance, and Brian Daboll,
right,
he might be keeping
his
maybe gig.
I mean, Tennessee's already open.
That's one.
Tennessee is already open.
If you want to look at the rest of them, like, there aren't a lot of other ones that are going to be open. Tennessee is open. Tampa Bay, no. Seattle, he's new. Pittsburgh with Mike Tomlin, they don't ever change their head coach.
No, Chicago
Aaron
just
Glenn
changed.
Winless.
No, but Aaron Glenn's not going anywhere in 1 year.
I don't believe. Now, I mean, same thing with Kellen Moore then in New Orleans. They're going to give him more of a runway than I think he gets more of a runway.
I'd keep an eye on the Arizona Cardinals.
That's a possibility, Jonathan Gannon.
I think the Arizona Cardinals
but
is
honestly,
one.
But honestly, if I'm Robert Saleh and I have a choice of one more year as a DC or you take that job,
I agree
with
you.
I stay.
I agree with you. If I'm Saleh, I'm now in a spot I've just had an experience of what happens when I take a crappy job as a head coach. You get whacked unfairly. Now he's going to rebuild his name. And, yes, I would be more selective next time around. I'm going to want an organization that I know has good backing and, quite frankly, a good quarterback.
Right.
And I don't want to end up in this quarterback carousel again if I'm Robert Saleh and have someone like Aaron Rodgers come in and fire me for no good reason. I don't want to do that.
I think it's similar with Kevin Stefanski in Cleveland. Like they might make a move there, which I do think is a little unjust because I think he's done mostly a good job with not a lot offensively. Shout out Quinshon Judkins, my guy. But again, if you're Saleh and you've got Arizona, Cleveland, Tennessee, or stick and stay for one more year as Shanahan's right-hand man, I think I stay.
Yeah, but I mean, there's so many things still that could be coming around the corner that we don't see.
It's fair.
What happens with Taylor in Cincinnati? Based on how that season goes, and are you getting Joe Burrow next, back next year and all of that. So, yeah, there's some questions out there, but we've got questions. We've got questions for John Feliciano. We sit here today live from Splash at Thrive City. It's presented by Xfinity, your home court advantage, brought to you by Xfinity. Watch all your favorite teams all in one place. Xfinity. Imagine that. John Feliciano joins us next. We'll get into the rebirth of the offensive line as George Kittle returns. He told us, I think they need Kittle. They got Kittle. Poof, look what happened. So Feliciano's going to want to blow on the back of his fingernails and talk this out. So we'll do that. Coming up next, we are sponsored by Moderna. And live at Splash on the NBA's opening night, this is Willard and Dibbs.
Now, back to
Dillard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, check them out. Check us out. We're at Splash Live. Feliciano's feeling it. I can see the head bob.
Oh, yeah.
I can see the head bob with that man. Check him out. That's a man whose kids must be out the house. That's the only thing I can guess. It's Willard and Dibbs live at Splash. We're getting ready for the Warrior opener tonight in L.A. Oh, look at that. Hold on a second. Change everything. River Island's guest line. It's John Feliciano and one of his offspring. Who do we have here, John?
RJ, come here. RJ, come here. Come say hi. Did you hear what he said?
No. What did he say?
You have a bald head.
You're right. We do have a butt head. He's sitting right next to me.
He said bald head.
Oh, bald head. I thought he called you a butt head.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. I mean.
Both.
Yeah, it's cold out here, you know? I got a five head, too, Junior. You'll be there someday.
Oh my God. That's so good.
What's up, guys?
Hey, Feliciano, what are you doing?
Just kicking my family out the house. They're about to go for a walk.
A long one, right?
Yeah, at least 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah. Perfect.
That'll do. Yeah.
Perfect. The Not Our Fault podcast. Check it out. Starring John Feliciano on YouTube. You know, the Warrior game is on the road tonight, but I was wondering, you know, a lot of your brethren would come to these Warrior games sometimes. Kittle, McCaffrey, we've seen them do it. Did you ever make your way when you were here for a couple of years? Did you ever make your way to a Dubs game at Chase Center?
I went when I was with the Raiders, when they were in the, what was it, whatever that, next to the Coliseum.
Okay, over in Oakland.
Yeah, I went to one of those, but I'm a Heat fan, so, you know, I don't mess with the Warriors.
Yeah, and that's too bad. I mean, the Heat had a quaint couple of little runs to the finals, but it's been the Warriors' time. But, John, I don't want to talk too much basketball with you, but how about your offensive line and what they did and how they showed up? You got to be pretty proud of that five-man unit and how well they played.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I've been harping on it for weeks. Once George Kittle gets back, we're going to take off. And, I mean, what Christian had, like 200 yards total. I think he had over 100 rushing. And I think that the line played good as well.
But what I hear you saying is that the offensive line is reliant on a tight end to make them look good. Is that what you're saying?
No, butthead. No, it's just it helps when you can run outside or they ran a lot of power this week. So it was maybe we're a power team now. I don't know.
Well, John, I wonder if you can explain this to the audience. Like, why is George Kittle seemingly the linchpin for the run game for the whole offensive line group?
Well, when you think there's times where he's at the point of attack on the front side of like an outside zone, and also there's times where he's on the backside and he's able to get that cutoff, which is a hard block, cutting off like a five or a six technique as a tight end. And you can see there was some plays against the Falcons where McCaffrey hit that backside real hard. And he got, 10, 15 yards.
And part of that is what you're talking about, where the tight end makes the initial block and either he or somebody else is able to get to the second level. And I'm especially fixated on what my partner was saying yesterday about Juice, Kyle Juszczyk. How important is he in the power game that you talked about?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, he's huge. I mean, I think he's been doing a great job all year. It's, he's been playing multiple different positions, especially with all the injuries. I mean, thank God we were able to keep Juice this year.
John Feliciano is with us for his weekly visit on Willard and Dibbs. Hey, we need a Matt Hennessy review. He got thrown in there at center, did a pretty good job.
Yeah, I think he played well. Looked like to me all his points were right. I'll tell you what, it helps a lot when you run a lot of power, because that's kind of one of the easiest points that we can do. But I thought he played really well. Him, Zakel got in for, I think, like 8 or 10 plays, something like that. And he played well as well. And I think, honestly, I think Pooney probably had one of his better games. It's funny. We were talking last week about him trying to dig himself out of the little rut, and then the first play of the game, you give up a sack. But then for the rest of the game, he locked down. He was playing great, and I think Connor played well as well.
So Shanahan came into the game talking about how they really wanted to establish the run, and they thought that they could do just that. What do you see in the Atlanta defense or any defense that would make Shanahan think that you could just go ahead and run it right down their throat?
See, that's the beauty of Kyle. He sees stuff that a lot of people don't really see. You think Atlanta just played a great game against Buffalo, and it looked like they were starting to get everything together, because going into the season, I thought they were going to be a pretty good team. Early on, they didn't really show that, and then they kind of brought everything together against the Bills and beat them. I think Kyle just felt good about his guys on the edge with power. I mean, those Kittle, the tight ends, Juice, they really got to make those blocks on the edge so we can cut up inside the pulling guard.
Hey, John, you ever drag anyone into the end zone like they did there at the end of the game?
2020 Bills versus Patriots at home again when I was at the Bills. I didn't know that was illegal. When? Like, what are we talking about?
Well, it's apparently it's not. It's only illegal if they call it.
I mean, you can push, but you can't pull. Like, what are we talking about here?
I don't get it. By the way, there's renewed conversation. I know the Players Union released some statements today about the tush push. I made this point yesterday on the show. I'm with you. Like, NFL opened the door for this. You didn't used to be able to aid another runner, but now you can. So why would you be able to push and not pull? I don't understand it.
Exactly. And for the record, I am all for the tush push. If you are against it, you need to – you are not a man. You are a sissy little boy. The only thing I would say is they need to crack down on those guards be leaving early, and that's a false start. But besides that, if you can't stop that play, then that's too bad.
I don't know if you saw the way Minnesota tried to stop it, but they literally had a guy on hands and knees sideways at the line of scrimmage. Is that what we've come to? Like, if Minnesota's playing, like, let's play the wheelbarrow defense? What is that?
He needs to roll better. He needs to, like, roll real hard, see if he can get under there. I mean, I don't know. It was unique. I don't think it worked, right? I think they got the first down on one of them. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, shoot. It's not it, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe they should go full firewood defense and just stack three straight guys like logs at the point of attack.
Just put everyone – I guess you can't because then teams are going to start running outside. But put your baddest man at nose and tell him, go make a dang play. I mean I don't think it's – I mean, obviously, it's a very successful play, but, I mean, it's a quarterback sneak, bro. Like, if you want to stop it, stop it.
There's got to be a reason it's so successful, though, all the time, right, John? And why has only one team been able to perfect it?
I think – I mean, I'm not a very big Jalen Hurts fan, but I think that's probably what he's best at. He's a freaking a hoss. I mean, he can squat a whole bunch. He's strong as heck. And I really think they just rely on him to find a hole and push. And then they have Saquon now, that who's another strong guy who can just push him in.
John Feliciano with the Niners the last couple of seasons on the offensive line with us, as he is every Tuesday on Willard and Dibbs. Hey, I wonder if you'd give a little review of the other trenches, like the other side of the ball, because all of a sudden, even without Nick Bosa, the 49ers were able to generate a pass rush, and Bryce Huff is out now, so that's its separate concern. But what did you see the Atlanta offensive line essentially struggle with on the Niner pass rush, because that had been non-existent for about 3 weeks prior to Sunday?
Yeah, and I think Atlanta's offensive line is, you know, they're not bad. They're not slappies. I mean, they're pretty decent. I mean, Sam O last year, I just remember him in practice, and it was like, dude, you're going hard every day. Like, there's some days where, you know, you're supposed to work hands and feet. Sam O is – I think Sam's going to be a really good player continuing. And I really like Alfred Collins. He's really good. I think they did a great job getting him and the other rookie, the DN. I'm sorry, I forgot his name.
But Kyle Williams.
Yes. I think John did a great job of finding the guys he wanted, and I think they're producing. And they have crazy Kasarik over there that's not going to let them not be prepared. So it's also a credit to Kasarik because he's a really good defensive line coach.
Yeah, and crazy Kasarik, and maybe it's, Robert Sala and whatever else was going on. It seemed like that defense was playing with such extra motivation after the Fred Warner injury. How much can those little things inspire a team, even in a short sample like a one game?
I think it's huge, man. I think Bethune, sorry, I'm spacing
Tatum.
The first
Tatum.
Name.
Yeah, Tatum Bethune.
I thought, I mean... I think it's huge for him to come out and have a good game off rip. I mean, a really good game. I think that's just going to keep building his confidence, and he showed that he can play some ball, and I'm excited to keep watching him.
I'm sorry, John.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm a little distracted because we're sitting here talking to you out on the splash patio.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
We're out at a big restaurant bar right outside where the Warriors play. There's two pigeons that are doing things to each other, John.
Yeah, yeah.
They're doing stuff right here in front of us at Splash.
Wow, you're getting a little show while you work.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a fornication sensation is what it is, John.
Well,
I'm sorry. I mean, seriously, if you two can't get a room, get a nest, all right? Thank you.
All right, they flew away.
I'm trying to do a show here.
Mongo scared them away. They just flew away. That was one of the honor experiences I've ever had out here, John. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, anyway, back to the trenches.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah.
Okay,
You ever seen two birds do it before, John?
I'm not really watching that on my downtime.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah. Don't Google it. It'll change your Instagram algorithm. But anyway, John Feliciano was with us. Hey, by chance, did you watch Monday Night Football? I think for you, late into the evening last night, did you watch the Houston Texans offensive line?
No, I watched earlier today. Yeah.
Right? Like, what are we talking about here, John? What are the Niners, like, I know their pass rush, again, all the injuries makes it tough, but my God, this is, I think, the worst offensive line in football.
I mean, there's a few real bad offensive lines this year. Poor Sam. I love Sam Darnold. Unfortunately, he's a Seahawk now, but, you know. He's going to take some more licks.
Yeah, I mean, taking a lot of licks, and I think the Houston Texans offensive line is even at a lower level. So when you think about this game coming up, Niners won't have Bryce Huff, but the Texans offensive line is terrible. Is this another game where the Niners maybe can exert their will in those trenches?
I think so. You know, Houston's another team like Atlanta for me, where I thought they were going to be a little bit better than they are. I don't know what's going on. There was some bad ball. We covered some of the sacks that they gave up. It's one thing to give up a sack, but then when the quarterback runs back another 7-8 yards and gives up a safety, like that's no bueno. We don't want that. We want that on Sunday.
Right.
That's quote not our fault, right, John?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's all this not our fault segment this week is going to have a lot of them.
I love it. I love it. Hey, they kind of went into the whole, like, it was a bit of a Jimmy Garoppolo type looking game for the Niners on Sunday night. But what did you think of the performance of Mac Jones?
I mean, I think he did well. He gave the ball to his playmakers. That one third down, I want to point out, you know, Kittle didn't have a catch or yards or whatever, but that big play that they threw to Christian on third down, if you didn't tell, there was three guys around George Kittle in the zone that let Christian be wide open, and Mac dotted him, and Mac's very smart, and if you're going to give him something, he's going to take it.
And on that play, John, I was looking at it again this morning. Atlanta rushes three, which means you're dropping eight. So it's 8-on-5 in the secondary. And, yeah, you're going to double or triple George Kittle. But can they have some awareness of the fact that Christian McCaffrey is running right down the seam to the 5-yard line?
Yeah. I mean, that's not a good look. I mean, how do you – it's bad when you drop eight and you give up a big play. Just ask Brian Burns. He was pretty pissed off about it.
Yeah, right.
No doubt. No doubt.
Hey, John, you said there's a handful of offensive lines around the league right now that you think are just kind of underperforming. I need names. Who are they?
Ooh, you want names.
Yeah, I need all names.
Right. I don't have no plans on playing for any of these teams.
Okay, good.
So, the Texans – Jets.
Yep.
Titans.
Yep.
I don't think the Seahawks line is great. I got to give you one more for a top five.
Mm. Yeah, you can put your eye patch on and just close your eyes and see a team that had 96 yards of total offense, John.
That was my last one. The good old Raiders.
I mean,
I know you tried to leave all your ex teams out of it, but you just couldn't.
I mean, how could you? Although he was never a Las Vegas Raider, I don't believe, so it almost doesn't count at that point.
Yeah, just the O, the O, whatever that shit was.
That's one. We're still looking, trending toward the under. John, when you have a team like the Raiders, who they can't score and they can't get 100 yards, and the Jets, who can't win, at what point does that start to erode the overall morale and just the confidence of a team when you can't win and you can't even move the ball?
The Jets are in a bad spot. I grew up a Jets fan when they had Wayne Corbett and Santana Moss, Chad Pennington, John Vilma, all those guys, Curtis Martin. Gone are those days. They look terrible, and it's crazy because they have a really good defense that tries to keep their offense in the game. But now there's probably gonna be a quarterback controversy over there. Yeah, it's gonna be they're 0-6. It doesn't look like it's gonna get better. It's gonna be a long 11 weeks for them.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, the owner comes out and is ripping the quarterback right in front of the media earlier today. So I'm with you. That's gonna be a real uncomfortable end of the season there. Circling back to the Niners, John, I want to know from you the effort and the numbers that we saw on Sunday night. Is it a styles makes fights kind of a thing, or how sustainable do you see that approach?
I mean, I think that's the offense. I think that's what we're going to get to, and I think that's what we're going to continue to see. We're only going to keep getting better when Ricky gets back and my boy Brock. Hopefully Barch gets back here soon. I think we're hitting our stride.
No doubt. And, no doubt. You know, you think about when Brock does come back, do we ever get to a spot 2 weeks, 3 weeks, I don't even know how long it'll be, where if Mac is keep doing what he's been doing, is there ever any sense in the locker room of a quarterback controversy, especially if you're winning with the other guy?
Zero.
Wait, did you say hero?
Zero.
Zero.
Gotcha.
Brock is a leader in that locker room. Everyone can't wait for him to get back.
I wonder, like, it's interesting, John. I mean, I think that's the sense from the organization as well. But how do you give us fans a sense of what the locker room does or how the guys feel when you do see someone like this? Because, I mean, there is the scenario where there's another 2 or 3 weeks and Mac is like 7-1 as a starter. So, you know, like how do players kind of deal with a situation like that?
We appreciate Mac. We say, love you, buddy. Great job. Be ready just in case we need you again.
Pretty cut and dry. Yeah, I get it. Yeah. I get it. John, great stuff as always. We get to break down that Houston offensive line again next week when we talk to you next, man. So we'll look forward to it. We appreciate you.
Appreciate you guys. See you next week.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And let us know when you're coming on out here. I got a couple of things I'd like to say to you face-to-face, John. If you got the guts to come out here and face the Dibber.
All right. Well, just make sure you don't bring any pigeons with you.
Boy, I'll tell you what. There might be baby pigeons by the time you get out here.
Someone on our chat said that the two pigeons were reenacting the tush push, John. So there's
well,
that.
Who knows, man? With Jake being out, who knows what's going to happen?
One of them yelled first down when they were done. I'm not sure exactly what happened. But anyway, John, thank you, my friend.
All right, guys.
All right, there he goes. John Feliciano, the man they call Mongo.
Dallas Goedert.
Joining us.
Jalen Hurts.
Joining us right here on 95.7 The Game, Willard and Dibs. He told us that it was George Kittle, and apparently it was George Kittle.
Yeah, and he's right, and I don't know a ton about, you know, this or that when it comes to formations, but I did notice a lot more runs to the inside the tackles, power, where, you know, you've got Juszczyk leading the way, you've got Kittle out there containing the defensive end, and McCaffrey was able to get some of those interior gaps. You get to the second level and make one guy miss, and now instead of the usual, 3 yards, second and seven, he's getting 8, he's getting 11, he's getting 7. There are a lot more runs that got to that second level.
It's Willard and Dibbs live at Splash at Thrive City, and it is presented by Xfinity, your home court advantage, brought to you by Xfinity. Watch all your favorite teams all in one place. Xfinity, imagine that. From one haunted house laugh to another, Nick Friedell is going to join us from Los Angeles coming up here shortly as we get back to Warrior basketball. And as promised, we will unveil the very special limited edition Steph Curry The Town bobblehead, available to the first 10,000 fans who get tickets and come to the game on November 24th here at Chase Center. We will unveil this. It's never been seen before.
Never.
So you got to get to YouTube right now. We'll open up. We'll find out what's in the box. What's in the box? We will open it up coming up next. So make sure you're with us for that and for the conversation with Nick Friedell. We'll get back to your phone calls. There's Greg Cosell's laugh. 888-957-9570 is the number. This is Willard and Dibbs.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
I mean, this is an exciting moment for so many reasons.
So many reasons.
First of all, we're live at Splash. We're getting ready for opening night. Second of all, cousin Nick Friedell is about to join us on the River Islands guest line. That's amazing. But we're also about to unveil for the first time ever the Steph Curry The Town limited edition bobblehead that will be given to the first 10,000 fans in attendance at the game on November 24th against the Utah Jazz. But not only that, the reason it's a limited edition, and Nick knows this, is because in the bobble, Steph is wearing the very special The Town uniform with the brown, almost kind of...
It's caramel.
Yeah, it's caramel-inspired uniform that has been getting so much buzz. And as it turns out, Dibs is now wearing that uniform.
Oh, yeah.
You should stand up. You are wearing the shorts, too. Nick, you can see this on YouTube, can you not? He is wearing the entire uniform right now on the tube.
Of course he is, Mark.
Of course he is. That's the best response anybody could have had.
Of course he is. Those bobbleheads. I was there the other night for that Jimmy Buddy bobblehead, and the line was out of this world outside Chase. So I know that those things will be flying out of the boxes as soon as the day comes.
Well, I'm going to open this thing up right now because we promised it to our audience. So here it comes, Nick. You will also be among the first to see the limited edition Steph Curry The Town bobblehead. All right, it just fell over. I got it. All right. Oh, he's got the mouthpiece even. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. There is the Steph Curry limited edition The Town bobble. I'm going to turn it around slowly as if it's like in the middle of Times Square or
he's
something.
He's still bobbling.
Yeah, he's still – there it is, little bobble.
Yeah.
Little bobble.
Oh,
there
yeah.
there
yeah.
it is. What do you think, Nick?
Any day you get a Steph bobblehead and you get to watch him play is a good day. So I am all about not only that, but Mr. Dibbs in the whole uniform. Right. That is pretty special.
Yeah, I'm just a mouthpiece away, Nick, from basically being Steph Curry. And, you know, before the segment, I was doing a little bit of air dribbling. And for a brief moment, I might as well have been the chef out here, other than the height, the athleticism, the jumper, and the multi-millions of dollars.
Yeah, aside from all that, everything else is good.
Pretty much, yeah. 5'8", 6'3". Yeah, we both have 3 kids. What's the big deal?
Oh, actually, no, Steph's 4. Got 4 now.
Yeah, never mind. And hopefully someday I'll be able to match him. Yeah.
All right, let's talk some basketball, Nick. What do you think? 65 wins, 68 wins, what do you think?
Guys, the only thing, literally the only thing I would be concerned about if I were a Warriors fan is can they stay healthy going into April, period. I'm not worried about wins or losses or whether they hit a certain mark. I am not going to judge this team until we know what they look like going into the second half of the year and if they're healthy enough to get rolling. Because,
Randy, are we good?
Looks like mine. And what other person is on the trading block. But if they can stay healthy, they're going to be just fine as far as I can see right now. And if they stay healthy and they have Steph looking like the player he looks like, not just last year, but in this preseason, they're going to have a chance. And that's all you can ask for at this stage with this group.
Let's just assume that they don't stay quote-unquote healthy. And I'm thinking about the 2014 Spurs where you had Parker miss 14, Duncan missed 8, Kawhi missed 17, whatever. That's kind of a normal NBA year. Do the Warriors this year have enough depth to be able to sustain some absences of their older core four?
I believe they do, Mr. Dibbs, but it's contingent as always on Steph, because if Steph goes down, everything changes, and this team looks dramatically different. If Jimmy were to go down for any stretch, I think the same thing applies, because as deep as this team is, if you lose one of those guys, it's just not going to work the same way. So, yes, this team looks very deep on paper, and yes, I think there's a lot of talent to sustain them for a couple weeks here or there, depending on which guy may or may not be out. But if they lose either one of those guys for a lengthy amount, they're in big trouble. But the caveat there is that's every team in the NBA. You lose your star, you've got big problems. It's just that the stars look a little different here in the Bay, with Steph being Steph and with a healthy Jimmy being the player that he can still be.
Nick Friedell covering the Warriors. He'll join us on 95.7 The Game twice a week, every week here on Willard and Dibbs, and we're looking forward to that, Nick, all year long. Hey, what do you make of this report that Jonathan Kuminga is probably in the starting lineup tonight?
Mark, it makes sense to me in that he has the size, he has the length.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Steve Kerr has repeatedly praised the way that Kuminga has played in the preseason. He seems to be doing more of the little things that the Warriors have been hoping that he would do as far as the passing, getting up and down the floor. So I think it makes sense not only because of the matchups against the Lakers, but Kerr said sometimes you just want to reward a guy for a really strong preseason, give him some more minutes, give him a starting spot for a second. Everything changed because Moody is out. It certainly is going to look a little different throughout the first couple months here, because Kerr has said over and over that he wants Al Horford to play about 20 minutes. So whether he starts, comes off the bench, we're going to see. But the Kuminga thing, on the surface makes sense. And I think that the Warriors would love to see him take that step that we've all talked about early in the year.
And that step that you're talking about is really going to be, I think, center stage tonight, right? When you talk about guarding Luka Doncic. If he does start and you've got Steph and Jimmy out there, he's going to be a tertiary scorer most likely. But isn't that step more the intangibles, Cousin Nick?
That's exactly what it is. And Mr. Dibbs, I boil it down even more to, Kerr said, running up and down the floor, passing. If he plays defense consistently, there are not going to be any issues with Kuminga. We know he can score. We know he has the athleticism to change the game when he needs to. Can he play defense over and over, night to night, to a point where Kerr and the coaching staff trust him more? If he does that, the Warriors are going to be just fine because, guys, it ties back to what we talked about at the start. If he does that, then you start thinking, oh, the depth on this team is pretty legit. Or going into the trade deadline, you say, hey, we really like the way Kuminga's playing. Maybe he can get us another piece or two that can help solidify us as we make one more push for that next ring.
Our guy Nick Friedell with The Athletic covering the Warriors with us every week here on 95.7 The Game and getting us ready for the matchup to start this thing off tonight in L.A. against the Lakers. Nick, take us maybe inside this matchup a little bit. I mean, I get what you're saying about things making sense, at least in the temporary, because of the lineup that the Warriors have. How much of this has to do with Luka Doncic? Like, Jonathan Kuminga and how many other Warriors can take a turn at guarding Luka tonight?
The context here, Mark, is that Steve Kerr said when you don't have LeBron, you don't have to worry about the LeBron rules. And certainly Warriors fans and the organization knows all about that. You've got to just run bodies at him constantly. Everybody gets a different shot to see how they match up against LeBron. But what Kerr was saying yesterday before they got on the flight was a lot of the same stuff as with Luka. You have to make sure that everybody is aware of where he is on the floor. And when you watch the Lakers play without LeBron, especially with Luka having gone through this transformation with his body and losing this weight and seemingly able to move around even better on the floor, you go, oh, okay, well, everybody's going to have to watch where he goes. So to the point about Kuminga, he may get some run there. You don't know how many different people will cycle through. I'm used to in all these years covering Jimmy Butler, seeing him get the matchup against the best player that every other team has. I'm sure he'll get a few possessions through time. If Moody were healthy, and this ties into the pods part and where Kuminga fits, at least in the short term, Moody would be getting some run against him as well. So everybody's going to get a chance, but when you have a team that is so centrally focused on what one guy can do, and I know Reeves can play, they have some other pieces, but Luka's Luka, and he's one of the best players in the game. I would expect the Warriors to do everything they can to at least slow him down and force somebody else to beat him.
And what are some of those other pieces, Nick, outside of Austin Reeves you mentioned? I know Jared Vanderbilt and Rui Hachimura can be a threat, but athletically, who else do the Warriors have to contend with defensively especially?
Well, Mr. Dibbs, that's exactly why I would think the Warriors should win this game, because you just mentioned a few of the guys. There's nobody that, like, strikes fear in your heart. I mean, this is the opener. Everybody's going to get some minutes. Kerr mentioned guys also yesterday. Ideally, he'd like to go about 11 deep, or at least he thinks he can to this point. There's enough trust where you think, oh, okay, like maybe this works. What I'm curious about is he has mentioned repeatedly how much Will Richard has impressed not only the coaching staff, but some of his teammates. Does he get a couple seconds out there early on, especially as an athletic wing guy who can defend in different places? We're going to see. But Dibs, specifically to the Lakers, they don't scare me. I mean, if you put LeBron out there, sure. But if you're the Lakers, I would think that you are just racing up and down the floor. You want this to be a track meet early on. You want Luka to get rolling early and find his rhythm. But when you look at this game tonight on paper, you would just figure that the Warriors are a little bit better top to bottom.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.